gentlemen, shut it right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a rose.
To the show, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. Thank you ever so much for being out there. We really do appreciate you. I am Christopher Hart. Back in the studio with me today is that radio guy, the chairman of the board himself, Michael McBath.
Now, Chris, have you recovered from our taco eating contest?
I recovered just fine. I don't know about our contestants out there.
Taylor told me he is still suffering from the peppers.
I can imagine.
He actually said they were actually pretty terrific, but you don't notice the effect until you're about six or seven tacos in.
Yeah.
And I told him, but Taylor, yeah, most people don't eat six or seven tacos when they're going out for dinner. But that was really, what a crowd we had that night.
It was a fun event,
and I know we'll be looking forward to some coming up here in the near future. So
yeah,
should
would,
be a great time.
Indeed it was. And a great host over there, Rick Brown, and a great venue over there. It really was, you know, ideally set up.
Yeah, that patio he had, and with the band, the only disappointment I had, the band did not know the song Louie Louie. How can you not know the number one college song ever in the United States? Louie Louie. Baby, we got to go.
Where is our world going?
I know.
All right, we got a lot to talk about with you tonight. And of course, though, you can participate in the show by calling us at 407-774-8255. And we'll have an author on a little bit later on in this hour of the show. And we're going to talk about the replacement for Justice Antonin Scalia and how that looks like it's going or not going or where it might be going ultimately, or if it's going anywhere. But his name's Kevin Ring, and he's the author of a new book called Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissents. And since, obviously, the Supreme Court picks are going to be a huge issue in the election this fall, I thought it'd be appropriate that we talk to a fella, maybe give us a little bit more insight into that sort of thing. A lot of pressure is being put on Donald Trump in particular. It's interesting that nobody's asking Hillary Clinton who she would appoint to the Supreme Court, but a lot of pressure is being put on Donald Trump to put out a field of candidates that he would draw from should he have some selections, which he's already kind of done with two candidates. Before we get into all that stuff, though, the Invictus Games kicked off here Sunday night, I guess, officially. And, Mike, of course, you're a big sports guy. Were you a part of the opening ceremonies out there with George W. And Michelle?
No, I did see them out there. No, I was not part of that. But I do have great admiration, obviously, for all our veterans out there that are participating. I think it's a great idea, and I love to see that. But I don't want to lose sight of the fact these are the people who have fought in unsafe countries, you know, horrendous battles that take care of America today. And then I sort of reflect back and think of the presidents of our universities and how they let all these little college wussies walk around campus. They need a safe place so they can breathe, so no one abuses them with words. Or, oh, no one will call them bad names. I mean, can you imagine these men that are out there, what they did for us, and our university presidents don't have the, you know what, to stand there and tell these kids, hey, buddy, you're a guest of my university. This is how it's going to work, and this is what's expected. The taxpayers are probably paying most of your scholarship. If you don't comply and you don't want to go into a debating type of affair and try to shut anything down, guess what? Bye-bye. That's how it is in corporate America, son.
Well, actually, that would be probably smart business for the university, too. Mizzou, University of Missouri, where a lot of all this nonsense at least blew up into the major, you know, a mainstream of debate, if you will, has seen a sharp decline in enrollment.
It's been over 20%, Chris.
And students withdrawing.
Right.
Because not enrolling, but withdrawing from the school.
College, as we both know, is extremely expensive this day and age. And all I want, like these kids at Dartmouth, when these that group came running through the library screaming and yelling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm paying like at Dartmouth, I'm paying probably $70,000 a year. Shut your mouth and go back and study. Get out of there, boy. I'd have put up a would have been a little different if we were sitting in the library.
But that does put in perspective the bravery, commitment, dedication.
That's what's so great about all these men
and women who are out there for the Invictus Games. So our hats, of course, are off to them, and good luck to each and every one as they compete.
Yeah, but I think it's, and I saw like a guy today was paddleboarding, a veteran. Did you see that on the news?
No,
he's paddleboarding something like, this is amazing, like 2,000 miles up the East Coast or, you know,
right.
And again, he's doing it for the veterans. And when you see these fellows out there who had just horrendous incidents, you know, in war,
sure,
it just makes you feel so good for America, but it also makes you feel bad for what happened to them. And then what's going on in America today with these left-wing radicals like Bernie. Well, every time I see Bernie Sanders, though, I think of bad grandpa, not good grandpa. You know what I mean? His economics are so distorted and so perverted that, I mean, this guy should be run out of any town.
Well, Hillary
shouldn't even got to the plate. You know, well, this guy needs to be run out.
He's,
you know,
on the verge of actually having a pretty good night. But before we get to that.
Oh, yeah. Well, look what he's running.
I guess it was Friday. A story came across the wires, as they used to say. I guess maybe some people still say that. I just said it. that Joe Paterno and the people over at Penn State quote-unquote, knew a much earlier date that let's just put it this way, that they had gotten complaints against Sandusky as early as 1971. Now, you had just graduated,
yeah,
about then.
I've done a number of phone calls on that, and the issue here is the complaint is coming from an individual who is obviously in the gravy train line, you know, trying to generate money. And it's probably from his law firm because, you know, anybody who's been in any type of legal confrontation knows that the lawyers will feed a story in that they say, well, you know, if it's not true, don't say it. But, you know, if it might be true, you might get $1 million. You know how they play this game.
Right.
Well, the reality of that story, there is no collaborators at all. There's no witnesses. There's no nothing.
This is just
a story fed into the media. And the reality of it is, in 71, you know, Jerry Sandusky was on the team with myself 2 out of 4 years. And, I mean, that's why.
Is he younger than you or older?
He's older.
Were there any, let me ask you this. He was on the Nittany Lions playing football,
right,
when you were on the team. What position,
right,
did he play?
He was a defensive end, and I played defensive tackle.
Now,
and
was there any rumors amongst any of your other teammates
that he was in any way? And I can tell you,
none of them said,
right,
hey, Jerry tried to do something with me or anything.
And
like
I specifically went back because, you know, he was coaching in 71. Remember how that article goes, talks around 71, 75.
So he went straight from playing football,
right,
to coaching?
In the graduate school coaching, right.
A graduate.
Now, here's the reality of it. This is why I don't believe the story at all. Joe Paterno, I used to always say this in a kidding way, would kill your mother to win. You know, this is a guy, he wins and you don't get in his way, buddy. You know, it's my way or the highway. If he would have ever had any hint of anything that's going astray like that, Jerry Sandusky as a grad as coach or even as an early coach, he'd have been out of there so fast he wouldn't have seen the time of day. It doesn't match up with the character, meaning Joe Paterno. This is why this story is so perverted, and our good friend from Washington, you know, who helped bring this in. Remember, the NCAA has given us back all our wins and everything else because there is a big Penn State suit up there, which we think we're going to win. And, boy, when the truth comes out, and you notice the truth has never yet come out in all these years.
No, it certainly hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of innuendo and speculation. September 17th, you're going to be going up there for a special ceremony to honor Joe
Paterno. Mrs. Paterno had sent out, and they would like all
His widow is still alive.
Right, the widow's still alive. And I can tell you this. I talked to her about 2 years ago in her house with a couple other former players because we, you know, that was Joe's real young days. And she's still, and understandably so, she's very bitter, you know, how this thing ended. And I understand, too, because I don't buy the whole story because I know how the legal profession works and I know how the media works. And if you remember that week the story came out, there was nothing going on in sports. And then all of a sudden, you know, all these media people were experts. And that's it's such a danger in our society, which we see it reflected in politics today, as you know.
Sure.
Every day you see the media feed one story out. And then, you know, with this Hillary stuff, I mean, Hillary should, be, honestly, we all know this. She should be in jail. Why isn't the media constantly, you know, vetting her and embarrassing her? They just, they want a story. They don't care.
Right. Well, I think there are political ramifications to the Sandusky story itself.
Yes, there are.
I found it hard to believe, especially given that date, because Paterno was always known as a no-nonsense coach, that he didn't put up with any of your nonsense.
Chris, it was the Marines up there. I'm telling you, it's my way or the highway.
Right.
You either get good grades. If you don't like how I do things, go home. This is it. And back in, remember the late 60s and 70s, a school like Alabama would bring in like 100 freshmen and all these other schools were bringing massive freshmen. He would only bring in 22 guys. He would handpick the guys. They'd handpick them on hopefully football skills and their educational background. And then he said, you know, you're here. I got to work with you 22. I don't have 100 people like they do at Alabama and all these other schools. This guy was, I mean, he was a true high-quality guy. So.
Yeah, by the way, I just got this from Carl. Thank you, Carl. He says, the story on Paterno is proof positive. Most media, I can't read that word, but you get the idea.
We got it.
I read in the police report 2 or 3 years back about this allegation, the one that mm-hmm. came out Friday,
right.
but there wasn't any evidence
right.
to prove this. Like you just
right.
said, I'm shocked it's resurfaced when it was out years ago. You know, we're going to bring this up a little bit later. I wanted to give you the opportunity to respond to it right away, but a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the liberal bias in the media that we've all known about all along, but now being revealed in some fairly shocking fashion. You got that story about Facebook. You have an op-ed by a liberal not just revealing the liberal bias in universities, but actually brought out statistics to prove
right.
his point. That's a liberal. And then this story about Ben Rhodes where he played on not only the liberal bias, but the utter ignorance of the young, idealistic liberals in the media to push stories through that these people had no knowledge of the field that was being talked about, so had no knowledge of what kind of questions to ask, or even if they knew what question to ask, to whether if not the answer was valid or not.
Chris, I'm going to term it what it should be termed. That's what I call intellectual rape. I mean, that's how abusive what these people from the Obama office did to these, and I call them kids. You know, think about it. You know, you've been around a long time. I've been around a long time. I bet you if we sat in that audience, we would have never accepted that. We'd have gone, no, this doesn't make any sense. How come over at Parchin they're doing this? How come, you know, and that's what the problem is. These people are writing headline stories for all the major newspapers and stuff, and they just think it's so funny. You know, this is a devastating deal, which I don't know if we'll ever live through this one.
Yeah, it's interesting that the liberal bias, though, is being even admitted by liberals now. Well, Facebook is denying it, but it was pretty much, let me just say this, the evidence against them is a whole lot stronger than it ever has been against Joe Pa. That's Joe Paterno.
Chris, and you know, even this Kurt Schilling thing. This is, did you see the most recent story again? And Kurt Schilling was on another network, and he's just talking about, here we go. I guess he's not in love with this guy, Stephen A. Smith. And he was just pointing out that, you know, the problem with ESPN and Disney's earnings came out the day a little bit after 4, which I did not see him. But their problem, ESPN's really sucking wind, you know, on subscribers, advertising, You know, they really got a big problem. Now, maybe they've settled this to some extent, but you're going to, you notice there's people leaving ESPN, yeah, like it's going other places, supposedly for raises.
Fortunately for Disney, it's been sort of covered up, not purposely so, but by the good numbers that they've been getting out of some of their blockbuster movies that have been coming
out.
You're
correct on that. That's absolutely right.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the primaries going on tomorrow. Yeah, they're still going on. And it looks like Bernie Sanders is in for a big night. We'll tell you why we think that. And some very interesting poll numbers out today that have caught a lot of people's attention. And we'll give you a little breakdown on that as well and give you a couple of numbers you may not have heard yet. So stick around for more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show.
Well, you've heard the horror stories. The couple comes home from shopping.
Gosh, there's water pouring out of the ceiling fan in the living room. Henry, quick, grab a bucket.
My new wood floors. They're ruined. Gosh, I wish we had this home inspected before we signed on the dotted line.
This is Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Buying a home is the biggest investment you'll make. You have to know what you're getting into. Henry and June now have a nightmare on their hands. Don't let that happen to you. Call Firm Foundation Home Inspections before you sign on the dotted line. We'll inspect the property from roof to foundation with the latest technology to know if there are any leaks or electrical problems. You'll get a detailed report, and at Firm Foundation, we warranty our work, ensuring your peace of mind.
Don't make that big investment without calling the home inspector that more realtors use. Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Call 321-624-0254 or go online to orlandoshomeinspector.com.
Welcome back to the show as we rock your world here tonight. Okay, 407-774-8255 is the number. And we got a new contest that we're going to be rolling out here in just a few minutes. But I want to get to some of the news here as far as what's going to be going on tomorrow, because there are two primaries going on tomorrow for both the Democrats and the Republicans, West Virginia and Nebraska. West Virginia is, of course, a big coal mining state there, and because of Hillary Clinton and her and Barack Obama's war on the coal industry and being so blatant and open about it, as recently as just a few weeks ago in a debate where she talked about putting coal miners out of work, well, they heard that, and they didn't like it, as you might imagine, and so they're going to vote overwhelmingly tonight in West Virginia for Bernie Sanders. He'll come away with a big victory tonight, but of course she'll do just fine on the delegate side because she already has the super delegates of that state wrapped up. So she'll do just fine, even though she's going to lose let's just say a very convincing fashion. Nebraska probably going to be a little bit different, although Bernie stands a good chance of winning in Nebraska because he's actually beginning to pick up some momentum. And these victories, and like in Indiana, and he won a couple the week before that, or at least he won one and close on the second one, denied Hillary a clean sweep the night Trump got the clean sweep of the five northeastern states. And he's still keeping her in the primary.
Because, you know, the other thing on to show you her demise, do you know in West Virginia in 08 when she ran against Obama, she won every county in West Virginia?
Yeah, well, she's not
what a difference a day makes, boy. Oh, she's going to get waxed tonight like she's never been. And again, that builds Bernie's momentum, right?
As she should get waxed.
And she should. These people are so bitter, and anybody who's been to West Virginia realizes how important coal is. And to make an ignorant statement like that, and you're a leader,
there ain't much else in West Virginia but coal and Sang.
Have
you seen any of those shows on, I guess it's the History Channel, it's about the Sang?
Right.
Where they go up there, they find the ginseng roots, mm-hmm. right? They call it the Sang.
Yep.
Anyway, there ain't much else up there in West Virginia, right?
Those towns are a little rough when you go riding through them, I can tell you this. I'm not sure too many people have seen something like that.
You know? Take advantage of the open carry laws they got up there, right, or whatever. Anyway, but going to be a big night for Donald Trump there as well. He was running very strong there. He's been endorsed by one of the major coal miners' unions.
Yes, the West Virginia Coal Association, which really encompasses just about, you know, all the mines.
In West Virginia.
And they are enthusiastically endorsing Trump. And they really badmouth her. I don't know if she can get 40% of the vote.
Well, they had early voting in that state, right. And they were showing, once again, record numbers of turnout for Republicans in the early voting. Up until yesterday, they had over 100, and I think it was over 101,000. Anyways, it was over 100,000 votes in early voting, and the second highest total was actually John McCain, who had about 84,000.
Yeah.
And Mitt Romney had about 69,000 in that state. So once again, for you want to give the credit to Trump or whatever, the people are coming out in droves, and that was early voting, and the early indications today were a strong, steady turnout at the polls today. So Sanders and Trump, obviously Trump is right. Kind of skating, but still he's got to win these contests. And
I'm impressed that these people show up just to vote when they know he already won.
And they evidently are, and now they will have other options on the ballot,
right.
Because the ballots obviously were printed before Cruz got out, before Kasich got out, and I don't know how many other names are on the ballot, but at least theirs will be. So if there are people who are out there still, you know, aggravated, disgusted, or whatever, they will be able to show their displeasure. But nonetheless, look for a big night for both Trump and Bernie in West Virginia tonight. Nebraska actually is a little bit outlier because their poll numbers they're showing they may actually have a low turnout tonight. Or today. So perhaps now Nebraska was expected to be a huge state for Ted Cruz. He was expected to blow right through that state. Ben Sasse is one of the senators in Nebraska that he's one of the never Trumpers who's even actually proposing a third party type thing. So Nebraska's turnout might actually be suppressed somewhat, but it'll still be interesting to see how those numbers turn out. Those are tonight, and the poll numbers will start coming out in Nebraska, I think, at 7 o'clock.
I love it when people think they're going to follow their senator. Now, if our senator here told me to vote for Hillary, do you think I'm going to follow him? I don't think so.
Let me just say, if you're anywhere near Bill Nelson, you don't want to be following him. You want to be, well, let's just put it this way. You don't want to be downwind, all right? Stick around. We got more of the American Adversaries. We'll take
folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to The American Adversaries, the best in political professional wrestling on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, tough guy, ho!
Ho, and away we go with the show. Thanks for listening, folks. 407-774-8255 is the number. Christopher Hart here along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. Thank you for listening. We're going to have our author here in just a moment. We got time, however, for a phone call. We got Jerry on the line right now. Jerry, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Hey, Jerry.
Doing great. I had a comment about Mr. Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yeah? You feeling the burn?
Wait a minute, Nick.
I'm sorry, Nick. We need to get Mike's mic up. There you go. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jerry, real quick. I'm sorry.
No problem. Yeah. One thing, I've been wrestling in my brain, trying to come up with why people like Bernie Sanders.
All right. What'd you come up with? Anything?
Okay. Well, it's primarily the young people, right? The college age types.
Yep.
And one reason you can't drink until you're 21 is why?
Yeah.
It's the brain development, right?
Yes.
You can't. Your brain is still developing, so you're not able to have the part of your brain hasn't developed that understands consequences. If I'm not mistaken,
that's part of it. Yeah, Dr. K could fill us in better, but yeah, there is still development going on. Correct.
Right. So that explains a lot about why the young people like Bernie Sanders, because they can't make the connection between liking him and consequences.
that's right, for sure.
There's a lot of truth to that, because they are not thinking at all about the consequences of his proposals, obviously.
Right. So I think it's physiological.
Well,
which is why he's such a phenomenon amongst the college age people.
Well, I think you're onto something. I do think there's a dynamic to that. You know, psychology does come to play a lot in politics, you know. And they're those young skulls full of mush, as L. Rush Fuzbo calls them, are much more easily manipulated. That's for sure. But
and there's another thing.
I'm going to bring that up with Dr. K.
You know, when you're watching a cheap, you know, movie, you know, the bad guy comes up, you know, and he always has some token, you know, thing that he, you know, entices the person, either the girl or the young person or whatever. And it's like the pedophile with the puppy, you know?
Sure.
So he offers something, the free college, the free health care, all that as a puppy.
Are you?
You don't like puppies.
You call it Bernie Sanders a pedophile, are you?
No. I'm just saying, you know, it's a
I understand.
Kind of
I understand. I'm just teasing with you, but yeah, I understand the analogy, though. You're quite right. It's these impressionable people who are looking for someone that they can like that, right? And here he comes prancing along and holds out a few shiny little objects, and they go, yeah, I want that free college. Yeah, I want that free health care. Yeah, I want that guarantee of a job at a certain, you know, income. Yeah, but don't ever tell me what it's, you know, how it's going to hurt me later on down the line. No,
right.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Chris, you know, the one thing the day Sanders came out, and I can't believe this guy would make this statement. He says, well, I also want carbon taxes, and I want to completely end fracking. Oh, that's great. That'll certainly keep our costs down for energy,
won't
it?
I'm sure, to Jerry's point, when he says that to his crowds, he gets huge ovations and
applause. You just tell them anything.
Because they're not thinking of, well, if we don't have fracking and we have an energy crisis, they might actually go very cold one winter. It would be very unpleasant for them, and they wouldn't understand why. You're right, Jerry. They aren't thinking at all about the consequences. Excellent phone call.
That's my theory.
I think it's a good one, and I'm going to bring it up with Dr. K. I'm sure he'll be interested to hear that. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate you so much.
One thing he did clarify for me is he said, you shouldn't be drinking till you're 21. Now I know what happened.
All right. We've got our author on the line right now. He's an excellent scholar. His latest book is called Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissents, and it's on bookstands now. It just debuted April the 4th. So come on out and buy a copy, and let's talk right now with Kevin Ring. Kevin, thanks for being with us this afternoon. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Obviously, we were just talking politics. The issue of the Supreme Court and the number of justices, we already know one. There's a lot of speculation as to how many more are going to be appointed over the next few years. It's a huge issue. Did you know that going in, writing this book? Was that any motivation in the book, or were you just a huge admirer of Justice Antonin Scalia?
Yeah, no, I was just a huge admirer. I did an earlier book in... about 12 years ago, a collection of his opinions, and then I was working on this one to commemorate his 30th anniversary on the court. It was supposed to come out in July or August, and it was due to the publisher March 1st. I was working on it on February 13th when we got the news, and I was as surprised as anybody. So it was in the works, and I was just an admirer, and I was hoping to have this out and hope this was just the next installment, but not the final one. But that's what happened.
Well, your book describes a justice who was very unique, I think. Did I get that right?
Oh, yeah. No, he was certainly unique. He had a unique philosophy for interpreting cases, and he also just had a unique way with words. He was a master wordsmith, really eloquent, passionate articulator of his philosophy. And so that's the only reason a book like this is possible, is because normally people don't really want to curl up and read Supreme Court opinions. And This isn't a beach read, but you couldn't do a book like this with Ruth Bader Ginsburg's opinions, for instance. I mean, they'd be dry and boring. But Scalia was a great writer, and he wrote like an op-ed columnist. He'd, you know, somebody you'd want to read. He communicated important and complex ideas in a really pithy manner, and that's what made him so fun.
He was also unique in the sense, and I believe you point this out, that he had admirers on both sides of the aisle, so to speak.
Sure. In fact, I just mentioned Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was, you know, one of the most liberal justices on the court and was his best friend. They traveled together. They went to the opera together. Nah. And even his most liberal critics, you know, liked him, admired him, knew he was a force to be reckoned with, knew they had to engage his ideas because they were so persuasive and had so much pull in the country and among people like the Federalist Society and young lawyers. And so they knew they had to engage Scalia. And so he just had a lot of respect from people who disagreed with him, and also because he was willing to engage. He liked to debate, and he'd go around the country and talk to audiences that were hostile. And he liked the give and take. He thought that was important.
And he never seemed to get hostile himself.
Not personally hostile at all. He always said, I mean, I attack ideas. I don't attack people. And he said, I happen to know a lot of nice people with really bad ideas. So,
that's a nice way to put it. I like
yeah,
that.
It is.
And, you know, we're missing some of that elsewhere in Washington, that outlook.
Well, and you know, I had read before on several occasions that he and Ruth Bader Ginsburg were good friends. I didn't know they were the best of friends. How did that happen? Was there something else they had in common, or just was it over their mutual respect? Do you know?
Well, they served on the D.C. Circuit together.
They
were judges together on the Court of Appeals, and that's how they got to know each other. Then they realized they had similar interests, like I said, in the opera and the rest. And she thought he was funny. I mean, he thought she was bright, and, you know, what guy doesn't like a girl that laughs at his jokes? So, you know, they just got along personally, and so their family started spending holidays together. In fact, when he got to the court, they asked him, you know, who do you think Clinton should pick? You know, Mario Cuomo or Lawrence Tribe? And he said Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's what he thought so highly of her as his colleague on the D.C. Circuit.
I see. Well, the fact that he is such a unique figure now in American history and the court's history, going to be pretty big shoes to fill, I think, right?
Yeah, I think that's what Washington is grappling with right now. The Senate, you know, obviously is Republicans don't want to consider a nominee, but even if they do, they realize that the future of the court hangs in the balance because he was a larger-than-life figure. He was the swing vote on a lot of cases because in many cases it was 5-4 one way or the other. And so, you know, so that he was going to be an important replacement no matter what because of the balance on the court, but also just because he was a leader. I mean, he was the conservative intellectual leader on the court for the last 30 years. And so it's a huge void. And I think that's why the passions are so high on both sides about his replacement.
Well, obviously, I think at least around here, we think that Merrick Garland is not going to be able to fill those shoes. You have any opinion on that?
Well, I think he's certainly a qualified judge. But, I mean, given the fact that you know, he's replacing Scalia, and because the court's balance is what it is. I mean, my preference as sort of an institutionalist is I would give him process. I would have hearings. I would examine his record. And I'd likely find that he didn't meet the standard I had set, which is a Scalia standard, you know, somebody who would fill his shoes, use his philosophy, and all the rest. So I don't think he is up to the job in that regard, but he's a fine guy and he's a qualified judge. I just think they should vote him down. But it appears at this point that he's not going to get a vote at all.
Right. And of course the president's under no obligation to try to replace Scalia with someone like Scalia.
Sure.
But as you point out, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on around this appointment or non-appointment, whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone's covering themselves in glory here. I think if a conservatives were, you know, I think we'd recognize that if it were a Republican president, we sure as heck think that even if it was his last year or his last month, he should get his pick through. And Democrats who are now saying, give us our pick, you know, they had said about President Bush, if he had another vacancy, that they wouldn't confirm that person. So I think nobody's really acting on high ground here. And I think that's why the better course would be to give him process. Give Justice Garland process. He is a federal judge of distinction, and so he deserves that opportunity. The president certainly deserves an opportunity to have his nominee heard. There's no obligation to confirm that person, though. And so, you know, I think, I don't think anyone's covering themselves in glory here. And I think, worse, it's further politicizing the court. It's making it look like it's just a power game. And I think that's not what you want on the Supreme Court. I don't even think Justice Scalia would like that to be the legacy.
Well, I want to go a little bit further down that road, but first I want to remind our listeners we're speaking with Kevin Ring. He's the author of the brand new book, Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissents. And you can get it at Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. And by the way, Kevin, do you have a website or Facebook page that people can visit?
No, for now they should just go to Twitter, and I'm at Kevin A. Ring.
Kevin A. Ring on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you spell Ring, R-I-N-G.
Yep.
And you just mentioned the politicization of the court, which has always been sort of, you know, bubbling beneath the surface of the court, that sort of thing. And it's bubbling up and bubbling over now. And it I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility. I want to get your opinion on this, that it may be a long time before we see Scalia replaced. Do you think that's a possibility, that the politics may have become so bitter and divided that the out party does everything they can do to keep him from being that position from being replaced?
No, I think you're right. I think, you know, if they don't replace him before the election, then you have a new president coming in January. They'll have to nominate somebody, and that takes a few months to even, you know, do that review process. So we could be looking at a while, you know, at least another year, and that's if that person is acceptable. And so, you know, we could be looking at this vacancy for quite a while, and, you know, that could have an impact. We've already seen some 4-4 decisions. They're trying to avoid those. I mean, the country will survive, but it's not ideal by any stretch.
And, of course, in the meantime, there's the possibility of more vacancies. Ruth, you mentioned Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She's well into her 80s, I believe. Kennedy's up there. And there's another justice who's 70 or so years old, so there may be more.
That's right. I think Ginsburg is likely to go. I think she's waiting to see if, you know, Hillary Clinton wins. And if she does, I suspect that she'll step down. And so, you know, that makes the stakes even higher. That means the next president is going to have two picks and could really change the court for a generation. So the stakes are so high, which is why I think people should think hard and long about the strategy of you know, Merrick Garland's 63 years old and more moderate than Hillary Clinton is likely to choose after winning an election where she's going to try to pacify her base. So you know, it's a dicey political strategy, but regardless, because of the vacancies, the court is likely to change.
Indeed, and of course, the Republicans, I think, are trying to keep Garland sort of hanging out there in case Hillary wins. I think they'd like to try to rush through his confirmation. And if she should lose, they still may try to rush through her confirmation, considering now who the Republican nominee is, and a lot of them are dissatisfied. Now, Trump did mention a couple of names. I don't know if you caught them during the debate season. I think one was Pryor. I can't remember their names. But
yeah, Judge Pryor from Alabama.
Yes.
Jeez, now I'm forgetting.
We're having a brain freeze, but
yes.
Do you remember thinking those would be pretty good?
No, I think, so here's the thing. I think the best news for Trump, because I don't think he knows a lot about the Supreme Court, how it works, what they do.
Right.
The best news there is that he's going to be advised by Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, who's been on the, you know, who, you know, was a U.S. attorney himself, has been on the Senate Judiciary Committee for a long time. And I think this is an area where Senator Sessions is going to have a lot of say. And so that's my best hope for getting somebody like Scalia on the court, is that he'll listen to somebody like Sessions.
And perhaps that's where that connection comes from then, obviously.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, Kevin, we really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight, and I hope you will continue to stay on top of this issue and bring us updates as the election season goes along and as this nomination process drags out, perhaps, as you say, more than a year. We'd like to keep you on board as someone who can give us those insights.
Well, I appreciate appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you once again. We've been speaking with Kevin Ring, author of the brand new book, Scalia's Court, A Legacy of Landmark Opinions and Dissents. And as you just heard, this is going to be one huge issue in the upcoming election. All right. Stick around. When we come back, we'll go over our contests and some poll numbers that just came out today.
Low rider.
We got to get Nick back into the late 60s, early 70s when all the cool music was out, Nick. Not Star Wars music.
Welcome back to the show, folks. 407-774-8255 is the number. We got Bob on the line. We're going to take Bob's phone call, and we're going to give you our contest rules for our Thursday evening contest. Bob, thank you for calling tonight. Appreciate you being out there.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Bob.
You got all these people nitpicking about Trump. With all of the, he does this, and I don't like it. I don't like this. I don't like that. They're really nitpicking the man a lot, which is really stupid because the man's such a huge success in normal life. Why do you want such a strong, successful guy in charge right now of this country? I have no idea. But there's one easy thing to think about. Either you have Supreme Court Judge Barack Obama or you have Supreme Court Judge Ted Cruz. Which one do you want? Figure it out and then vote that way.
Yeah, or the likes of. You're absolutely right. The likes of Barack Obama or the likes of Ted Cruz. But yeah, you're right on a couple of points there. Exactly. I mean, it really is, if there's no other issue that should motivate people to suck it up if they have to go out and vote for Trump, it is this issue right here. Which is one reason why I wanted to have this author on the air. We all know that this is a big, important issue. It's already going to be tough enough, as we discovered talking to this guy, Kevin Ring, to fill Scalia's shoes to begin with. And then we're going to mess around and assume that Hillary's going to do it for us? I mean, it's and of course, the Supreme Court, if we allow it to go any more to the left, then we truly are going to be in over our heads, because the Supreme Court, as shoddy as it's been and as spotty as it's been in its decision making over conservative versus liberal issues, it's still sort of the last firewall that we have. And if we're going to throw that away because we don't like Donald Trump and the way he talks and the way he walks and the way he acts, well, I guess we're going to deserve what we get. But you're right about that.
You know, an interesting thing about Bob's comment, you know, what amuses me is that here's the world, you know, we're fighting Islamic terrorism, starvation, disease, but all the Democrats right now care about are fighting for the men to urinate in ladies' rooms. I mean, really, when you think about this, is this, why do we tie up our country in this garbage issue when it's 0.1% and less than that?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, you know, it's just so... Yeah.
But
divisive.
You had a question, and you sort of, I think, answered your question with the question, Bob. You said, well, you can't understand why they would fear a strong, successful person, because they fear strong, successful people, because they most of them are not. And if it weren't for politics, they'd be nothing in life. And so they don't want to be shown up. And especially because they understand that a lot of politics is all about being inept and getting away with it. So they don't want to see somebody in there who can show them how it's done.
But don't you think,
it's the
Chris,
last thing they want to see.
It'll be nice if Trump goes into the convention, you know, with a number of people that have been appointed.
Yeah.
And
well,
I think it'll be pretty impressive.
We're going to pick this up on the other side of the break, because Bill Kristol let the cat out of the bag this morning. We've talked about it on the show here before, but he made it official. Bill Kristol is one of these, you know, highbrowed, conservative, know-it-all, right?
A true businessman.
Yeah. I won't tease you. I'll go ahead and tell you what he said, because we're going to talk about it on the other side. He said, the problem with Trump is not that he will lose in November, but that he might win. See, this goes right to what he's talking about, though. They fear that he might actually win. This is not a Democrat. This is Billy the Kid Kristol. All right, real quick, our contest rules for Thursday.
All right, Chris, what we're going to do is, we all know Trump is the major supporter of the wall, right? Well, we've got a wall that's going down across the southern part of the United States and a wall in the northern part. Well, whenever you have a wall, you need graffiti. So the reality of this contest is, we want to see who comes up with the best graffiti to put on the wall. Mine for the southern wall will be Hasta la Vista, baby. So in other words, envision the wall, Trump's in. What do you want to put on that wall graffiti-wise? And it can be the southern wall or the northern wall, because we do have our good friends from Syria, et cetera, coming in from the north.
Now, can it be wall art? Can it be like a picture?
It could be a picture, right, okay. If they want to describe wall it as a picture.
We want to know
anything as such. So.
Do people have to know how to spell it? Because I don't know how to spell Hasta la Vista.
Hasta la Vista, baby. But, you know, we have very creative people, so I can see a lot of art up on this wall. All so right. It'll so be that, interesting.
That's going to be Thursday's contest,
and there'll be big prizes, huge. So.
Jerry,
should be good.
Jerry, who we were talking to right before we spoke with our author, Kevin Ring. Jerry of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. Jerry and Janice Shepard, great people over there. And if you got a Mercedes-Benz, please take it over there and introduce yourself and let them just give a safety inspection. They'll do that for your car for free. By the way, with summer coming up, if you have a Mercedes, come on over to Jerry's MB, and they will do a safety inspection for free. So if you're heading out on the road, you won't get surprised out there. Jerry's MB. And anyway, they are sponsoring the $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, which is part of the prize pack. Mm. And we'll throw in a My Liberty Threads t-shirt as well.
Good package. Get your graffiti ready.
All right.
Should be fun.
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit up right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a road.
Welcome to the show, if you're just now tuning us in. Thank you so very much for listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Michael McBath is here. I am here. Christopher Hart. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. And I forgot, but we still have some of those Shriners Circus tickets that we've been giving out Friday night and last night.
Now, are the elephants still in it, Chris?
No, unfortunately.
Or have they
not
departed?
Well, I don't know, because that was the Barnum and
Bailey. There was
a
time limit, right? This might be the last time around.
Well, for the Barnum and Bailey Circus, they've already been retired 2 years early.
Right.
Or 1 year early.
So this
I'm
might
sorry.
Be the last chance you get your children to see elephants.
I don't
live
know if the Shrine.
Maybe.
I'm not,
I don't know. Maybe they don't go that route because
I'm not
of.
Promising the Shriner Circus has elephants.
I could bring horses if they need that.
They will have lots of fun things going on, though. And the Shriner Circus will be the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We've got tickets that are good for any performance on any day. And there's like three performances, I think, on Saturday. The first one is like at 11 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, those tickets are free for the asking. All you have to do is call and give Nick your name and address and tell him how many tickets you would like. Okay? And they are yours until we run out. And we gave out a bunch last night. We gave out a bunch Friday. But Dr. K gave us a whole roll of these things. So we still
That's
got...
That's great. It saves the family a lot of money. So, and it's, you know, what great entertainment these, for youngsters.
They sell for $16 each.
Yeah.
So depending on how many you get, you could be saving yourself a bundle.
Chris, we're going to go out in front and start peddling them.
We haven't turned anyone down yet for the requests that they have given us. So 407-774-8255 is the number. Quick program note, the Rays are playing late tonight. You might have just heard Mick Dolan talking about that. The first pitch is like 10:05, so we will not be interrupted tonight. And you'll get a good part of the Larry Elder show in, too. And I'm loving listening to Larry Elder as I drive home.
What's happened to you, Hewitt, every time I turn
Well, he's on vacation
Oh,
until
I know,
the end
but
of this
is he ever coming back? It seems like it's been like months.
I don't know if If I was him, I'd be thinking twice about it. The guarantees he was given about a contested convention, and no way Trump was ever going to be the nominee.
I love how he used to count all the numbers on, how the voting would go, and he knew exactly what would happen. He's already out of the game.
I know. And
nice.
I think it was the first or second. It was, I think, the second primary, or maybe it was the third. Anyway, when he went around bragging about how he picked the top three,
right?
And we did a contest, and like three of our people beat him, and our winner got the top five. It was JJ. She got the top five that night. So hey, just listen to the American adversaries. We will not lead you astray.
People are tutored along, and they are have great insight. So see that.
The good news is tonight and Thursday night, we're not going to get any interruptions from the Rays on the airwaves. Of course, you can always listen to us no matter what the Rays are doing on AM660TheAnswer.com, on your smart device because you've downloaded the free app, or go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and just hit the Listen Live button. And you can do that 24/7, and it'll take you straight to the streaming signal from AM660TheAnswer. Real quick, speaking of the poll question, or the app, I should say, with that app, you can also participate in our Getting Back to Be Now daily polls. And there is one up today, right, Nick? A poll question up today?
He's on the phone.
Oh, he's working the phones. When he gets a chance here, he'll give us an update on today's poll question. It has to do with Amazon's new quick delivery system. Anyway, he'll give us the question here in just a
moment. With drones?
Now, tomorrow, we are going to get the whole show, unless the game is postponed, the whole show will be preempted by the baseball game. So you will need to listen to us on your smart device, or go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, hit the Listen Live button, or go to AM660TheAnswer.com. I'm sorry, Mike.
No, I was going to say, were they talking about drones in this Amazon delivery, or what were those?
I don't know exactly. I just heard bits and pieces of it here today. Real quick, I want to give you some poll numbers that came out, and then we'll talk a little bit more about what Billy Boy Crystal said today, and was on CNBC, as a matter of fact. He was over on CNBC.
The Clinton News Network.
No, that's CNN.
Oh, that's right.
CNBC is the business.
It's worse.
The business version. No, you're thinking of MSNBC.
I know, MSNBC.
CNBC is the business version of the NBC
Did you hear Trump was on this morning? Boy, did he lay into those people CNN. It was so embarrassing. He was so strong with it. He goes, "Oh yeah, don't ask me that question. You're the Clinton News Network." Oh my God! And the guy he knocked the guy back. He didn't know what to say.
Anyway, as I revealed before the break, Billy the Kid Crystal revealed that the thinking with the Republican hierarchy is that the problem with Trump is not that he might lose this November, but he might actually win. To them, that is the worst of all possible worlds. And there are others out there making similar arguments for various reasons. Now, in terms of the race itself, there is a new SurveyMonkey national poll out. This is the NBC SurveyMonkey poll, and it's because a weekly poll it's come out. It had been primarily the primaries that the polls that these polls were taken, that those were the numbers. Now it's going to be more and more Trump Clinton. This is a national Trump Clinton poll. It shows Clinton 49, Trump 44, almost within the margin of error. And then they broke it down by race. Clinton gets 33% of the white vote. Trump gets 52. Clinton gets 53% of the non-white vote. Trump gets 20. Now,
that's relatively high, right?
He's in the game.
Compared to expectations.
He is in the game. And 20% of the non-white vote, he's not supposed to get anywhere near
that. That's what I'm saying. Very encouraging at this stage, and it's only going to get better.
You're talking about blacks, Hispanics, and Asians primarily.
Yep.
The non-white vote. And then if you add up the numbers, it shows that Trump has more room to gain with the non-white vote and probably very little to lose. I mean, if they're supporting him now, they're not likely to desert him. So he has a lot more room to gain there than she has to gain with the white vote. And if it's 49 to 44, he's his let's just say his prospects are of an upside are much better than the downside.
I agree. I mean, even today they were interviewing these women in West Virginia, and these weren't the most educated people in the world. But, I mean, the women just said, I am not going to vote, get ready, for Crooked Hillary. So, you know, but you know what? Isn't that amazing?
The label
they label them, and that sticks with them. And this trust aspect, believe me, is what's going to wipe her out. That's why she is not going to win this election.
Yeah, I think Newt Gingrich really had a good view of what Trump does with, like, those nicknames. He really knows how to diminish his opponents. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. He diminishes his opponents. So, oh, well, his numbers are really bad. Well, so Hillary Clinton's numbers are already bad, and he's fixing to diminish them some more. Let's look at some other numbers. This number you've probably heard on maybe some other shows. It's the Quinnipiac Battleground Poll out of Ohio, Florida, and Pennsylvania. It shows Trump and Clinton in a dead heat in Florida and Pennsylvania. She's 43 in both. He's 42 in both. That's obviously within the margin of error, and that's neck and neck. I mean, that's...
And that's before the big march begins.
That's before the big march begins.
That's why I say, I think when the people know Hillary better and better, they're going to dislike her more and more.
Ohio, Trump, 43, Clinton, 39. And no Republican, as the saying goes, and it's statistically true, no Republican in the modern era has become president without winning Ohio. Well, he's already ahead in Ohio, believe it or not, Quinnipiac poll. They broke it down by gender. In Florida, Trump is ahead with men by 13 points. Hillary's ahead with women by 13 points. In Ohio, Trump is ahead with men by 15 points. Hillary is ahead with women by 7 points.
There you go.
In Pennsylvania, Trump is ahead with men by 21 points. Hillary is ahead with women by 19 points. So this is shaping up to be a war of the sexes, if you will. And by the way, in the head-to-head with Bernie Sanders, he does slightly better. He beats Trump by 3 in Florida and Ohio. Once again, that's pretty much neck and neck within the margin of error. And he beats him by 6 in Pennsylvania. But, of course, the fix is in against Bernie Sanders. One final poll number, then we'll go to the phone line. When it comes to party support, Trump is showing 84% party support. And by the way, those Quinnipiac poll numbers and that survey poll number show that pretty much the base is good with Trump.
Right.
Either they're fine with it, they're going to do it because they feel like they have to, the lesser of two evils, however you want to put it, they are supporting Trump.
Plus, did you see this, Christo?
Real quick. 84% of the party says they'll support Trump, and 94% of the Democrats say they'll support Hillary. 5% of the Dems say they'll support Trump. 12% of the GOP will support Hillary. Now, you say 5% versus 12. Actually, that 5% in raw numbers is pretty much equivalent to the 12% because there are so many more Democrats registered than Republicans.
Right.
So, once again, this heat is a dead heat, and it's game on.
And I have to believe, again, they're going to continue to line up. I believe after Thursday you'll see more come in line. But
tomorrow.
Yeah, actually, well, yeah.
Tonight, I should say.
Yeah, and the other thing, look at Trump. I mean, once his story's out, this border issue is going to separate Hillary from Trump. You know, all those who want the border to be, I call it, closed, in essence, Hillary wants open borders. Believe me, this is going to bring more women across, unfortunately, because of incidents that I'm sure will occur in the future.
He's going to give her the old one, too.
Yeah, he's going to whack her around using this.
In terms of policy, he's going to hit her
right
on the immigration and on the economy, because that economy is the biggest issue of both parties.
I mean, he has her, I shouldn't use this word, but he has her dead on this because she just has nowhere to go.
Well, that's one way to put it.
You know.
Let's take George's phone call before we take the break. George, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Howdy,
George.
I was listening to Donald Trump today, and I got this thrill up my leg. I couldn't believe it.
Oh.
I thought I was I thought I was turning into a liberal. So what I did is I quickly grabbed my Roxy, sprayed my leg, and like B.B. King said, the thrill is gone.
You knew the right medicine for it. I hear you. That's good stuff.
I like how he incorporated Roxy.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, well, you know, got to help the crew out.
Very good. Right.
There you go. Thank you.
Do you know what a liberal, speaking of liberals, do you know what a liberal menage a trois is?
I'm afraid to guess, but tell us.
Well, you've got the Hitler beast, you've got Uma, and the Indian.
The half-breed, yeah. Or actually one-hundredth breed. Lizzie the Bourne Warren. Yeah, I like that.
There's a vision for you. Now, on a more serious side, I'd like to ask you, what do you think Ryan will offer, say, and what do you think Trump will come back with, if you could be a fly on the wall? And what do you think will really happen after the meeting is done? What kind of the results you think there'll be?
Well, it's kind of hard to predict. But first of all, Ryan, his first and foremost duty in his mind right now is to get as many Republicans reelected to the House as possible. He is not like Bill Kristol, who is afraid that Trump might win. I think he'd be fine with that. He'd feel more comfortable. He thinks that Trump might lose and lose big. And what Trump needs to do is sort of reassure him that he has every intention of winning this thing, and that Paul Ryan will be a major player in his administration. If he does that, if he can accomplish that, I think Paul Ryan will come out, probably not a wholehearted, I'm a Trump guy now, but he'll probably come out and say, I'm going to be okay with supporting the nominee. If Mr. Trump does get the nomination, I'll be a supporter of his. I don't predict any, rallying cries, we're all together, kumbaya now. But I do think that there will be a meeting, a coming together, if you will, a meeting of minds. Basically, I think they're both going to go in there, and they'll be congenial, but they'll both basically state their position. I think Ryan will say, look, I need to make sure we keep the Republican control of Congress. Trump's going to say, I agree, and I intend to help you do just that. And I think they'll come out and there'll be some form of unification. How strong it is, I don't know. But I do think that there will be a meeting of minds, and they will come together. And there will be a show of unity by the end of the day on Thursday.
Chris, don't you think there'll be a reaffirmation of core principles, too? In other words, they're going to dance around that. But I'm sure that's going to be part of the announcement
because
we're all together.
Trump's going to go
ready
in there
to run
and say, I'm fine with conservative core principles.
All right. That's what he's going to do.
The thing is,
but here's what I'm going to do.
Is he going to say it in a way that Ryan is going to be comfortable and believe it? And I think Trump's going to go in there and convince Paul Ryan that he intends to win, and he intends to win big and bring the Republican Party along with him. And if he can do that, I think Paul Ryan will be good with it.
If not, he'll be Private Ryan. Very quickly, too.
I hope we answered your question, George. We appreciate
it. One more quickie. Did you know that the Clinton Foundation has installed a night deposit box for those incognito depositors?
The brown paper bags.
George is very knowledgeable about all the failings of the Clintons. I love it.
I love it, too.
All right, guys.
Thank you, George.
All right, George.
Appreciate you being out there. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got another phone call. And once again, we got some free tickets to the Shriners Circus coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 20th, 21st, 22nd. Who says the radio business just doesn't pay? I just got informed by Mike McBath. Tell him what you just told me, Mike.
Yeah, we down at this tennis club downtown, we have a lady who is just the kindest, sweetest older lady. I'd say she's probably, I'm guessing now, about 50, 55.
That's not
and,
old.
No, she's a and she's a legal immigrant. And she is outstanding. And today, she listens to the show. She sees our bumper stickers, Hillary for Prison, which she absolutely loves. She came up and gave me a chicken that was wrapped in cellophane. I didn't know it was a chicken. She said, I made you lunch. And I'm thinking, wow, that's awful nice, but she was a fan, and she's a huge Trump fan, And but isn't that amazing? And you would never think that this woman would be a Trump fan. And so it's great. And they're out there. The women are out there. I don't buy this story that women don't like Trump.
All right. Let's see what Al thinks about Trump. Real quick, thank you, Al, for calling. We appreciate you calling tonight.
Yes, sir. Chris, you forgot to mention one of the polls out there.
Which one?
And as Bernie smoking Trump, this is for all the stupid Democrats out there voting for a crooked Hillary. That Bernie smokes Trump 51-38.
And which poll?
So they need to wake up.
Which poll is that? I thought I had them all.
The Huff and several others.
Oh, Huffington. Yeah, you're right. Those polls still show a significant lead for both Clinton and Bernie Sanders. But those polls are a few days old. I was going with the latest polls. But you're right. There are still some polls and this confirms but your point as well, that Sanders still polls better against Trump than crooked Hillary does, as you called her. And so you're absolutely right about that, and I did point that out in terms of the Quinnipiac poll, but yeah, you're right. There's still those other polls out there that show it more significant spread. But yeah, I'll give you that. But unfortunately, you know, as we've talked about on the show, and you know, with these super delegates, the fix is in against Bernie. So we'll see what happens, but he's going to have a big night tonight. I'll guarantee you that, Al.
Well, if the polls keep looking the way they are, where Trump versus Hillary, then Bernie can make that argument come the convention time and say, look, I could beat Trump. Then hopefully change the minds of those dumb superdelegates.
Well, you know, it'd be interesting if he could pull that off, but I wouldn't put any money on it because, you know, the inside game, she's got it and she's got it wrapped up. But anything can happen in politics. So as long as he's in the game, he's got a chance. Thank you, Al. Appreciate you being out there.
You know what's amazing, Chris, about that poll? Do you envision any way that Bernie could beat Trump? No, absolutely not. And I say that because look at his voters, all youth, right? Anybody that has any sanity or any knowledge or any maturity, all you need is a few stories to get across to these kids so they understand what they're doing, and that folds his whole hand.
Well, I will say this, though, that I do think that Bernie Sanders would be tougher competition for Trump because he doesn't have all the baggage that she's an easy target.
The trust issue is great. I'm so thrilled of the trust issue because I know she cannot win. She cannot win. Bernie, though, I mean, like I say, I always think of him as bad grandpa.
I understand, but it would mean that Trump would have to argue policy, which isn't his strong point, right?
Yeah.
You know, so it would be, in that sense, a tougher fight for him.
Bernie and the Jets.
So, once again, the people are smarter than the elite, but thank goodness for us, for the Democrats, that the elite won't listen. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries in drive time and prime time on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. Larry Elder will be coming up here shortly at 7 o'clock, and the Rays will be playing late tonight there in Seattle. And tomorrow, though, they'll be playing an afternoon game, so you will have to catch us at am660theanswer.com or our website, americanadversaries.com. Just hit the Listen Live button. Or if you've downloaded the free app into your smart device, of course, you can listen to us there at any time. Mike, real quick, you know, this past weekend was Mother's Day weekend. Did you do anything special?
I told you, Chris, I just brought it up that one of my horses died.
Oh, and, Lord, no.
That was too upsetting to my wife and my daughter, so it was a rather dim weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have to say there were some, I don't know if I should say this word, there were some fireworks in Chicago. Can you imagine this city, right, one of our major cities, a focal point of business, et cetera. I mean, what a wonderful tribute to the Democratic Party and also to Black Lives Matter. This weekend, they only had 43 people wounded and 9 killed. That's all they did for Mother's Day. Is that unbelievable that this goes on in American cities and in Chicago consistently, and what has been Democratic rule for, what, 4 decades?
More than that.
And you wonder, again, as we've talked about numerous times, Why don't they develop their own guardian angels, these Black Lives Matter who have no idea what they're talking about or what they're doing? But they need to do 43 wounded and nine on Mother's Day weekend. Wonder how Christmas is going to be.
Yeah, you would think that if their motto or their slogan were true, that they would be marching through, you know, the neighborhoods on the weekend.
Right, you would have people sign the weekend, sit in the corners, just like the Guardian Angels did, that really turned New York City around. Yeah. And then we got these people who don't even know the front door from the back, and it's just it's probably, you know, it's like a war.
Yeah, and nine mothers who are their lives were crushed
right
over Mother's Day weekend.
And then with 43 people shot, how many of them have permanent injuries? You know, that will curtail their life and then go on welfare and everything else. I mean, the whole thing is a mess, and the Democrats are truly responsible for this. And also, the blacks are responsible. You know, I mean, they need to show personal responsibility, and they need to get their act together along with the city, because this should not happen in America.
Well, there has been a lack of true leadership in the black community. I mean, you've got shysters, Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, but you don't have the true leaders, or very few of them. And they don't have the large followings, unfortunately.
That's why I'm hoping Ben Carson gets a very visible place in the Trump, which he's going to, you know what I mean, in the Trump administration.
Well, not only that, but before this is over, you're going to have, I believe, a number of black entertainers and high profile black people who are going to come out in support of Donald Trump.
And you're right. And you know, how about if Trump gets the entertainment, though, show for the convention?
Well, let's just say that I think this convention is not going to be like the last one. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, Bill Kristol let the cat out of the bag this morning. He revealed that what the Republican establishment, at least the people over at the National Review like himself, fear most about Donald Trump is not that he's going to lose in the fall, but that he's going to win. Because to them, he's a bigger threat if he wins. They would prefer him to lose. And by the way, if Cruz had gotten nominated, it would have been the same thing. They would have wanted him to lose, too, so that you can finally put all these uppity, you know, voters in their place and shut them down. And so watch for these guys. Look for these guys to do what they can do to make sure that Trump doesn't win. And they will, of course, think that they have done us all a favor. And then, of course, the alternative, however, is either Sanders or Clinton. And then we talked about the Supreme Court. I mean, everything else aside, just the Supreme Court should be reason enough to laugh these buffoons off the stage.
No, I agree, Chris. I mean, all we have to do is just present our argument, show the flaws of Hillary. It should be an easy win. But like Bill Kristol, even though he has all this Trump, here's a guy. How many people do you think are really lining up behind Bill Kristol? Does he really look like a big leader?
Well, this is what we were talking about last night. What these guys are really doing.
There's no one behind them. They're shadows.
They are marginalizing themselves. They are rendering themselves irrelevant in the fight, you see? He is so desperate now for attention, he's going around telling everybody that, oh, I don't want him to win. This is ridiculous. Right. I mean, this is why Trump is where he is. That man right there is a reason why Trump is where he's at. We are so disgusted with these people. And then you got Brett Stevens of the Wall Street Journal, who wrote a similar article today. And there's the big major radio talk show host who's been making a very similar argument. And their argument goes something like this. Well, if we elect this buffoon Donald Trump, he's going to ruin the country. He's going to ruin the party. And the Republicans are going to go right along with him and do it. But if we elect Hillary Clinton, the Republican Congress will stand in her way and they will hold her in check. And I'm sitting there reading and listening to this stuff, and I'm going, are these buffoons, have they been paying any attention to the last 7.5 years where we have had Republicans in Congress? Now, granted, the first couple of years, they were in the minority. But since then, they have had the numbers on their side to do something about this. They haven't done anything about it. And we're to think that for some reason, now they'll do something about it against Hillary Clinton? I mean, that's idiocy. I'm sorry to say, but that's just stupidity.
The curse you wonder,
if
mate.
Anybody they're going to stand up to, the Republicans are more likely to stand up to Donald Trump than to Hillary Clinton.
Now, I wonder if maybe it isn't good that we have Bill Kristol and Romney and everybody, because that keeps our disgust up. And, you know, there's more people continue to join Trump, because as these people speak and people realize there's no one following them, you just go, I'm a Trumplican, I'm a Trumplican. I wonder.
There is that.
You know?
There is that.
How about if they all disappear? Then we don't have anybody to, you know, the hammer.
Maybe Crystal's on the Trump payroll. I don't know.
Yeah. That's why I'm thinking, oh, my God, how about if he paid these people to hammer them purposely, you know?
Politics is like professional wrestling, right? Yep. Never believe what you see. James, you are up next. Thank you for calling tonight.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for letting me talk.
Yeah.
First, let me say that last night I tried to call in for 5 or 10 minutes, and the phone lines were continuously busy, and your advertisers should take note of that, because they say that only about 0.5% to 1% of listeners call in.
That's
so
true.
If your phone lines are continuously busy, you got a lot of listeners out there.
Well, indeed
now,
we do. Thank you.
As far as tonight, wanted to talk about Mr. Trump just a little bit.
All right.
Through most of this process, I have tended towards Cruz rather than Trump, but I get no problem with Trump. And part of it is because, you know, people need to stop talking about all this. Well, I haven't had the detailed plans of what he's going to do. I've been, I was little at the time, but I've been aware of campaigns since Ike and Nixon ran in, I guess that was 56. I don't know of anybody who's gotten their detailed plan into action. He even had people like Bill Clinton come up and say he was going to give a middle-class tax cut.
Right.
And 6 months into it, or six, whatever it was,
yeah.
I tried as hard as I could, but I just couldn't do it.
Right.
Nobody gets their details planned done.
Yeah.
And that brings up the kind of people that you have to deal with.
Yeah,
and in economics, there's basically micromanagers and macromanagers, people who look at the big view and people who try to control everything. Jimmy Carter and Barack Obama have been supreme micromanagers, and
right.
They've had utterly
disaster.
Terrible failures as presidencies.
Yeah, exactly.
I would much prefer somebody like Trump, who's a macromanager, and on one of your contests, I equated him to a huge white shark. And I still think of Trump as a shark, and that means that he has no ideology. When people talk about him flip-flopping, okay, so he flip-flops. That's because he really doesn't have an ideology.
That's
and
right.
He's not as well-grounded in some of the things like the nuclear triad or, you know, some of these other things they bring up, because it doesn't matter to him.
He's right. Just
he's a macro manager. He is going to be presented with a problem. He's going to collect people to solve that problem, and it's going to get done.
Yeah, you're
and
absolutely
that's what
right.
You've been saying throughout the campaign, and you know,
right. Yeah.
I go along with that, but I, you know, that's not again. Cruz would have been my first choice, but yeah. I get no problem with Trump because I think he is a macro manager who's going to assemble a team to take care of a problem. And it doesn't matter what he thought about things last week, last month, last year. Whatever people convince him is the problem that he needs to address, he's going to take care of that problem.
Well, not only that, and I want to highlight a couple of things you said. First of all, yeah, he's a man of practicality. Let's put it that way. That's kind of what you're talking about.
Pragmatic.
And see, exactly.
Very pragmatic.
And see, to me, this is a huge opportunity for the conservatives to persuade him to go their way. He's already
he's already
predisposed to do that anyway. And
That's right. And
I think if Paul Ryan were to approach this right, he would see Donald Trump as a huge opportunity that he will
absolutely
not have with Hillary or anybody else, for that matter.
Right.
And they should also see it this way, that if we don't jump on board, he may end up going the other way. So they need to get on board. They need to get with this guy and say, look, we'll help you get elected, and then if you'll let us, we'll help you be a tremendous success. And I think Absolutely. He'd be cool with that. And and as far as your point about people not getting their plans passed, you're absolutely right about that. As a matter of fact, Paul Ryan was talking today in an interview saying, you know, no matter what economic plan a president comes up with, those things always start in the House, and we'll write our own plan. He's already saying, you know, they're going to have an input in this thing. So Trump has been very open about that all along. He said just the other night in an interview, look, my plans are baseline plans. In other words, that's where I start negotiating from. What we end up with, I don't know. It always has to be negotiated. He's been very realistic about that from the very start. Well, listen, James, thank you for the call. We appreciate you being out there. Thank you so much. And
Chris, the other thing, too, is when, you know, when we watch him on TV at his rallies and everything, why would he go into detail? I mean, he's so basic, which I love it, because, you know, it's that old story, simple, stupid. You know, he talks border, he talks military, he talks economy, he talks taxes. He doesn't have to go in there and describe everything, because as just relayed by you earlier, you know, this is a situation, most of the things that he wants, he's probably not going to get.
Well, I think there's another dynamic at work here, too, with the voters.
Mm-hmm.
The voters are Trump supporters. They know that he doesn't.
Right.
Their opinion is he is showing determination to get the job done. None of these other guys seems to have that same determination. They come along and they make a lot of promises and everything, but when it comes time to do the job, they don't seem to have any determination to get it done. Show me a guy who's got determination to get the job done, and we'll take him over the guy with all the promises and the details any day of the week. At least that's what's happening
this
cycle.
Don't you think his fiery spirit conveys something, though? The fact that he fired back on Hillary and knocked her around as a woman, it just tells me it doesn't matter, man, woman, he's not a sexist or anything else. You want to fight, we'll fight. And, I mean, I want a guy like that leading my government, not like we've had for the last 7 years in Congress. These people have done nothing.
Exactly. It shows a man of determination. Let's take Jeff's phone call before we take another break. Jeff, thank you for being out there. We really appreciate it.
Hey guys, I almost want to parrot what you were saying there. It's so true. I think that's what people see in Trump, and I think that's why you see Paul. I think most people feel the guys like Paul Ryan are fighting Trump more than Hillary because they're afraid of what they're really going to lose if Trump is the guy.
Yeah,
I think they're scared of that. But I also agree with you. I think the thing about it is people understand that Trump may not get everything he wants, but they feel like he'll negotiate from that position. And then we'll give from that position instead of what we have now where they just go in and cave on everything and there's no fight, there's no negotiation, there's no nothing. We just give in and, okay, well, you know, you feel like at least Trump with his background and what he's shown in the past, he's at least going to negotiate from that position and we might have to give, but at least we're coming from where we want to be instead of caving on everything.
Yeah,
so, I don't know.
You're absolutely right, and he is going to be a man that his test of success is going to be results. It's not going to be trying, okay? The Republicans try to convince us that their trying is worth something to us. Well, trying don't bring the bread home. We want
You're
results,
absolutely right,
and his test of success is going to be actual results, not just trying. And so
but absolutely. Well, at least you know he's. Push for, like I said, I mean, I feel, and listen, I haven't been a Trumper. I'm not one of the, you know, I'm late to the party. He's the nominee now, and I wouldn't necessarily have voted for him, but I also understand that he speaks enough, close enough to my positions that I can go there. And so I'm okay with that. And I don't think he's a bad guy. I'm not saying he's all the crap that other people are saying. He just wasn't my first pick. That doesn't mean that I think he was bad. It just means he wasn't my first pick. And I'm on the bus, and hopefully he'll negotiate from the positions I want him to, like I said, and I'll get at least some. Now, I've always gone Republican, and they're telling me, oh, you can't vote for Trump because he's not a Republican. Well, you guys aren't doing anything for me either.
Well, I know. I wonder, why would we vote for what's there? It doesn't make any sense at all.
That's the bottom line. And I'll tell you something, and this is something I would tell Paul Ryan. I would say, listen, if you show some loyalty to Donald Trump, he's going to bend over backwards to accommodate you. If you show him resistance, look out.
That's right. We're going to steamroll you. I hear you.
Exactly, my friend.
Hey, guys, I got to tell you, too. I just want to say, I am new to the party with you guys, but I really enjoy your show. I catch you almost every night on the way home, and I really enjoy listening to you guys.
That's great.
Well, thank you very much.
Jump into the contest.
Yeah, and I tell you what, if you'll stay on the line and give Nick your email address and your address, we'll send you some stuff from the show. We appreciate you being out there.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. Yeah. God bless you. We appreciate that. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll go over our contest rules. We actually got two contests going. I forgot all about the other one, but it's a longer-term contest.
I know.
So you'll have a little bit more time to deal with it, but we're going to want to know about your wall art, so to speak. Yep, McBass, come up with another one.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Get your easel out.
Your spray can. That's right, folks. You're listening to the American Adversaries, where we break the chains of ignorance. All right, before we get too much further along, there's been a poll question floating out there in our app world. And Nick LoCicero, do you have a chance to give us the update on that? The final tally, please.
Yeah, we got an update on that. The question was related to Amazon Prime, which just started. They have a service that they just started. They're launching it in a few different cities called Amazon Prime Now, where they're actually promising delivery in around 1 hour. To Amazon Prime subscribers for just $7.99, and so we're seeing if people out there are willing to use this, willing to pay a little extra to have things delivered within an hour. Usually, it's grocery items and such. So our question is: will you use Amazon Prime Now's new 1 hour delivery here in Orlando? And overwhelmingly, it looks like people out there in this audience are not too interested in this new service.
No.
I just bought
a franchise to be a delivery guy.
Yeah.
Hired 10 people.
85% saying no.
Wow.
That's because we're independent souls, independent-minded spirits.
You want to go out and get your own toilet paper? You don't want to have it delivered in 1 hour? Come on.
I don't even like the girl at the cash register see me buying it, much less have somebody, some stranger, deliver my angel
your door.
Song.
Here's your toilet paper. Did you want pink? Or white?
Angel Soft standard roll, please.
Nice.
Thank
That's
you.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Nick LoCicero. All right, we got two contests going. One is going to be Thursday, and it's our wall art, Mike.
Yep, Chris, you know, this is, as I say, our normal Thursday contest. We all know Trump's going to build a southern wall, and we think he might do a northern wall. But when you have major walls of that size across the country, you definitely need graffiti because that always appears. So what we need is your suggestion for graffiti. Either it can be written, it can be
drawing, words,
whatever.
Combination.
Mine on the southern wall, I'm going to have the words, Hasta la vista, baby. And so we want to have creativity in this. And with the with our listeners, I know we're going to get some great responses. There'll be great prizes. But just think how you want to decorate the wall either verbally or in picture style.
All right. Our other contest is a longer-term contest. It's going to be ongoing until Donald Trump announces VP. Now, he says he's got it down to 5 or 6 people, so he may be doing this fairly soon, sooner than later. So you might want to get in on this. You tell us who you think Trump will choose as his VP, and whatever person you choose will be locked in. We have two contestants so far. Joey has locked in on Condoleezza Rice as VP pick. James is locked in on Jeff Sessions, senator from Alabama, as Trump's VP pick. So no one else can take those two names. If you have someone in mind, Rubio, Gingrich, Cruz, whoever, call us tomorrow or any show until Trump announces. The winner will get dinner with us and the Killer Bee himself, B. Brian Blair, at Cafe Positano.
Yo.
So,
well, the food's good. The martinis are great, so it should be a delightful evening.
All right. You got a little something on
Hillary.
Well,
this is
the
last thought because, you know, we call her Horrible Hillary. And recently there was a actual ad put out by Bill Clinton, and the ad was to discuss all the wonderful things about Hillary and all the wonderful truths that we don't know. Well, these truths don't seem to be quite that, and I'm going to give you a few corrections. Bill says that in law school, Hillary worked on legal services for the poor. The facts are, and these are facts, Hillary's main extracurricular activity in law school was helping the Black Panthers on trial in Connecticut for torturing and killing a federal agent. She went to court every day as part of the law student monitoring committee, trying to spot civil rights violations and developing grounds for appeal. Bill says Hillary spent a year after graduation working on a children's rights project for poor kids. Well, Bill, that's not quite it. Hillary interned with Bob Truhoff, the head of the California Communist Party. She met Bob when, this is disgusting, right, when he represented the Panthers and traveled all the way to San Francisco to take an internship with him. Bill said Hillary could have written her own ticket, but she turned down all the lucrative job offers. Not quite, Bill. She flunked the D.C. bar exam. Remember, if you're a Hillary voter, she flunked the D.C. bar exam. And yes, she. It's a matter of record. She had virtually no job offers when she came out.
That's right.
And she finally got past the Arkansas bar.
Yep.
And she had no offers in Arkansas until Bill got hired at the University of Arkansas, and then she got a job at the law school. Now, this is just one of the minor points compared to what Hillary's life has been like on the negative side.
You left out she got fired from a staff, being a staff member on the Watergate committee because she wanted to deny Richard Nixon his constitutional rights.
Chris, we don't have 2 hours. I got 2 hours of this. Every once in a while, we will bring you a horrible Hillary note. So that was your horrible Hillary note for today.
All right. Crooked Hillary. Once crooked, always crooked.
Oh, what a sweetie.
All right. Let's go wrap it up for tonight. Now, don't forget, tomorrow night you'll be hearing the Rays on the radio airwaves. But catch us live at am660theanswer.com or go to our website, brand new website, americanadversaries.com. Hit the Listen Live button. And, of course, if you've downloaded the free app into your smart device, you can listen to us there as well. We will be back Thursday with the full show, and we'll be doing our wall art contest. And anytime,
get creative.
Anytime between now and when Trump announces his VP pick, we want to know who you think it'll be. Whoever the winner is will get a dinner at Cafe Positano with us and the Killer Bee. All right, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. So once again, folks, AmericanAdversaries.com for tomorrow night. Hit the Listen Live button. Good night, everybody.
FM 105.5 at AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. The official radio station of Decision.